It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with a story about the healing power of nature.
Every experience surprises us, turning the mundane into something extraordinary. Writer Crystal Chan felt this on a walk she took in her neighborhood with a friend, reminding them of the power of being present and enjoying the moment.
It was supposed to be a typical evening walk. My friend Zach was visiting from Manitowoc, and when I told him about the pond in our Oshkosh neighborhood, he wanted to see it. What I call the pond is a retention pond for an originally low-lying area in our neighborhood. The city created the pond in order to prevent people's basements from flooding. Mallard ducks congregated there in the summer, and as the autumn drew on, the ducks were replaced by geese. Zach and I walked to the pond at dusk. As we rounded the corner to the pond, we heard them. Geese. All spring and summer, I had seen only a couple geese at a time. Now, there were maybe 50, and they were flying, making wide circles around the pond, honk-talking to each other as they flew. As the last of the sky's color faded into night, the geese continued to make wide, low circles, honking, flapping powerfully, mere feet over our heads. I thought that the geese were just going to circle low to the ground, and that would have been magic enough. But as night settled in full, we heard more honking far in the distance. More geese were coming. Zach and I watched on silently. The original flock of 50 geese were still circling above us. Then a single goose silently landed on the water and cried out, honking to the others. "Maybe that one is a scout," Zach whispered. And sure enough, within moments, the 50 bodies of muscle and wing skidded onto the surface of the water. Moments later, the second wave of honking was above us, another dark flock. The geese, already on the water, cried back in a cacophony of noise until the flying group also skid-landed on the surface. After that, a third flock circled in, honking, more skin landing, 150 geese then 200 of them. Only a thin strip of light shone from a parking lot lamp, a sliver of visibility, and in this sliver we saw a density of powerful bodies on the pond. Beyond this thin sliver of illumination, darkness. But we knew that it was not just darkness. We knew there were hundreds of wild animals mere yards away. The power of their presence was tangible. It is not unsurprising that our experience rendered itself as utmost holiness in this COVID world. These days, presence is fleeting. We have all been presence-starved. You can't see this inner starvation, but it's there. As the night grew thick, I couldn't see Zach a couple feet away from me, but I could feel his presence. Just as I couldn't see the 200 powerful bodies upon the pond, but I could feel their presence. It was a visceral, primal sensing of presence, one that surpassed any Zoom meeting, one that fed the heart and spirit. At some point, the geese grew quiet and there was silence. In the thick darkness, Zach and I couldn't see them at all. But the power of their presence was overwhelming and palpable in the silence of that night. And in some deep and indescribable way, it healed a hungry, hidden part of us.
Writer Crystal Chan brought you that story about the healing power of nature. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now to Milwaukee's Edessa School of Fashion, breaking barriers, preparing students for the global fashion industry. It has degree programs in apparel design and fashion marketing. Some of its students and its founder just returned from presenting at New York Fashion Week Black, the goal to celebrate designers of color and create a space for advancing inclusion. Join in on the fashion industry, the role of Wisconsin and the Midwest, 800-642-1234. Lynn Dixon-Speller is Dean of Academics at the Edessa School of Fashion, first designated fashion college in the Midwest. Lynn, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, New York Fashion Week, an iconic event in the fashion industry, and you just participated in it with some of your students. What did you take away?
I took away that New York is a place that anyone who wants to participate in the fashion industry has to spend at least 3 days in. And, you know, we had all been there before. Well, most of us had. But I think that we hadn't been there as presenters. We had been there as observers. And it's a very different take to go and present. And I think that our students got a perspective that they will carry through the rest of their careers by this entry-level opportunity.
What was your message?
Well, you know, we worked really hard here in our environment, and then we got there and had to present in their environment, and it was extremely different. The pace was different. The energy was different. Mistakes and the resolution of them was different. So we got a taste of the real life, which I think that most apparel design and marketing students don't get until they graduate. I took two sophomores with me and a junior. And so this is very early in their matriculation, and they got to taste the real life before they got out there.
Hmm. Vanity Fair crunched the numbers. Over 25% of New York Fashion Week's official schedule features Black-owned brands. Can you assess how your industry is addressing inclusion, addressing systemic racism?
Well, I think part of the awakening is that it's finally been realized that Black and brown peoples are very heavy consumers of the fashion industry, and they're inspiring to the fashion industry. There's a different take on fashion when you're part of those communities, and sometimes that take is on the leading edge and on the consumer edge. We spend billions, and I think that the time has come that most people that are Black and brown tend to look at industries in general and say, how many of us are working there? Mm-hmm. How many of us are influencing this? How many of us are part of this? And that's where we're deciding to take our business. So I believe that the fashion industry is beginning to catch up with that ideal.
That's interesting how you put that, because, you know, the industry's pledge is, you know, the 15% pledge for Black designers, some would say that there isn't enough change, there isn't enough representation when you compare what you're saying, the outsized influence of Black culture on fashion. Can you speak to that influence and what you're trying to teach at Edessa School of Fashion?
Well, the influence is prevalent. It's been prevalent forever. I took a group of 30 young women from University of Delaware to New York, and we went to the Color Association of America. And one of the students asked, where do you get your inspiration from? And literally these women said, we get in a car, drive to Spanish Harlem, and look around. Hmm. And that was, it was exciting, but it was insulting at the same time. Fortunately, I had no students of color with me on that trip. It didn't hit them the way that it hit me personally. And I decided at that point, this needed to be worked on. And I developed a course at the University of Delaware. I wrote a grant and developed a course called Ethnic Influences on American Fashion, basically influenced by that one statement on that one field trip. Ultimately, I have presented that course at several other universities. And I now have a college that we've begun, that we founded, that doesn't belong in one course. It belongs in the entire curriculum. The idea of inclusivity, the idea of everyone is welcome and your ideas are important here. And when you see the leadership representing the segment of the population that you come from, you feel more comfortable that you don't have to continue to explain who you are, mm-hmm. that you get to be who you are and let it shine through your work, and people will appreciate it and not critique it as not marketable or, we breathe it at EDESA and live it. And it's not just people of color. It's LGBTQ. It's we have students who are not of color. It's a welcoming environment for everyone.
Let's take stock for a moment for people who are saying, Wisconsin fashion, what? You know, how does the Midwest influence what comes down the runways in New York and London and Milan and Paris?
You'd be surprised. Two things happened while we were in New York that made it clear that Wisconsin does have a presence. Number one, we went to Elena Velez's New York Fashion Week show. A student and myself went. And I mean, it embodied Wisconsin and fashion in metallurgy and ripped garments and a very, very muted color palette. We experienced that. The other thing, we met maybe two or three other designers that were from Wisconsin that were at New York Fashion Week. We were there, they were there, it was there. It was real that we are part of it, but typically we are more, Wisconsin's more a part of the execution of fashion, but I believe that the influential aspect is beginning to grow.
Which leads me to that question. Do your graduates have to move away from Milwaukee to find a good job with growth in the industry?
Well, it depends on, we don't have a graduate yet. We're working on that. We're moving towards that. We just opened in January.
Come on, Lynn.
About it. We opened in January and we were at New York Fashion Week in September.
Wow.
That is unheard of. But to go back to your question, there are opportunities here. There are major corporations that are the headquarters of fashion brands. Now, if you want to, you know, just really shake the earth, yeah, you're going to have to go to New York or LA or, you know, Atlanta or somewhere. But if you want a job, you're talking good, basic, decent job, there are many here to create, design, develop, execute, and construct a pair of pants and bring them to market probably takes 40 people each pair of pants. So people don't realize that when they get up in the morning and put their pants on, even in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 40 people had a job because of that one pair of pants. Mm. And that's in America, in Wisconsin. So it's just a hidden secret. You know, it's like, you know, medication. We don't know where it comes from. The same is for the garment industry.
Mm, you put it in perspective. Lynn Dixon Speller, Dean of Academics at the EDESA School of Fashion in Milwaukee, offering now baccalaureate degree programs, preparing students to enter the global fashion industry that we're talking about. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have a spotlight on the work of EDESA School of Fashion in Milwaukee, its recent efforts to make studying fashion more accessible and inclusive. Four-year school named for EDESA Meek Dixon, who graduated from Tuskegee Institute over a century ago, taught her young granddaughter, Lynn, how to sew. We're talking to that, Lynn. Join in on sewing on fashion, opening doors to this industry in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Lynn Dixon Speller is Dean of Academics at EDESA School of Fashion. Stays with us. Lynn, surely it never gets old, but can you talk more about your school's namesake and who is EDESA Meek Dixon?
EDESA is my paternal grandmother, and what impressed me most about her is that in probably 1916, She made a decision to pursue higher education at a time when African Americans, and even beyond that, women didn't pursue higher education. And my grandfather graduated alongside her. They both graduated from Tuskegee, but she was a woman. I think it was even more for her to do to get there and to finish. I mean, thinking of a young Black woman traveling across the roads in the South from Texas to get to Alabama to go to school and then go back home and come back. That's a lot of risk. They risked their lives at that time to travel and to go to school. So I'm just really impressed, and it inspired me. The unfortunate thing, it didn't inspire me until I was maybe 35 years old. Then I got it, you know, but before that, I just thought everybody went to college. I didn't understand that it was a challenge for a lot of people.
What a inspiring story. Let's bring in Stephanie in Milwaukee. Stephanie, you're a student. Go ahead. What would you like to share?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes.
Okay. Super. Yeah. So I was just saying that being a student at ADESA is great because not only do you get these kinds of opportunities and the one that we just had by going to New York, by having Lynn and everybody on the faculty there at ADESA, it feels really refreshing to not be academically put in a box. Hmm. So, for example, I've been doing design for 15 years on my own, and I've just been teaching myself this whole time. And I do feel like I'm now ready and disciplined to get a degree. But also my work is very distinctive. It's not something that you'll see at Walmart. And I feel like there's been a lot of times, especially being in the Midwest, where my work sticks out in a great way, and sometimes in a way where it makes me feel like I'm on an island. So it feels nice to not be restricted in any way, where I feel like I can truly grow and develop into a better designer. So
I want to ask you, yes, and Stephanie, I just want to ask you this one follow-up. Where do you get that courage and confidence in your craft and in what you're making? Because it is an industry that is cutthroat.
Well, I see it this way. As a creative person, I use apparel design as a means to get out my fashion demons. I need to be able to get these ideas out of me, and using textiles is the way that I do that. And it needs to come out. So I need to do it because I'm creative. So it's not so much courage as it is the need to be able to create.
Lynn, what do you have to say about Stephanie's inner fashion demons?
Well, I've learned to respect them and embrace them because they are what makes her brilliant. I have to say about Stephanie on this, we know each other in the classroom. We see each other all the time at school, but this is the first time we've been on a trip together. And I feel that I learned just as much from Stephanie as she may have learned from me. The students all have something to offer. They all bring very different perspectives. And Stephanie's is so unusual and beautiful and very celebrated. She was the artist in residence at the Pfister Hotel for a year. She does some amazing work, but we got to spend more time getting to know one another on a, I don't want to say a personal basis, but I will say on a non-classroom basis. And our students they bring it, they bring the heat, and we took the heat to New York. And Stephanie's garments were extremely well received. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to say this right here. We've been asked to return. So awesome. I think we did a good job.
Oh, that's such good news. Stephanie, thank you so much for calling in. As we talk about fashion in Wisconsin, Lynn Dixon Speller with us, academic dean of the ADESA School of Fashion, now a 4-year program based in Milwaukee. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Lynn, what have been those biggest hurdles, those biggest demons, if you will, in getting a four-year college off the ground? What is that like?
Well, we've had two major hurdles. One was navigating the state of Wisconsin itself, and we were successful at that 2 years ago. In 2020, we were granted program approval by DSPS so that we could operate and confer degrees. The second has been fundraising. I learned something for our trip. We didn't struggle as much to fundraise, and I believe donors want to give to something specific as opposed to an overall general endeavor. So we've learned that, but the fundraising has been the second greatest hurdle. We do all we can, and you know it's very difficult to ask for money, but the first thing was navigating the state.
Before we have to let you go, I just want to ask this one thing as you look into the future. How does completing a school like yours, your degree program, how do you want to make that stand out on a resume in the future?
Well, when you write down on your resume that I attended and graduated from Edessa School of Fashion, we've already become a national name just by virtue of the platform we were just given in New York. So I want this, when you go to Portland, Oregon, and you're trying to get a job there, I want them to say the same thing that they do about FIT or Parsons. Oh, so when you went to school, you really knew what you wanted to do. Hmm. You didn't go to a liberal arts college and figure it out your freshman year. You went in strong freshman year, started your fashion studies, and at the end probably got more than you would have anywhere else. So I want it to be a national name, a global name, and I want it to be a strong education. Our program is strong so that when employers see the name, they know they've gotten the best.
Oh, Lynn, thank you for joining us. All the best to you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Lynn Dixon Speller is Dean of Academics at the Edessa School of Fashion in Milwaukee. Just ahead, we explore advancements in prosthetic and amputation technology. Join in 800-642-1234. Join in on limb loss. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.